Hello, and welcome to the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey. Roger, it's Friday of Memorial Day weekend. How hard is that to believe?
And this is usually a huge weekend. It's a weekend of a car race in Indianapolis and lots of stuff, but we're still kind of going through this stuff.
We have a holiday with nowhere to go not much to watch on TV sports-wise, but we are enduring. And that's what, in many respects, this little series that we have been involved in the month of May has been all about. If you're following along in a Bible, you might open it back to the Gospel of Luke chapter 8. That was our jumping-off point for this series that we've called As the Storm Passes By. We've tried to emphasize that disciples of Jesus do more than simply suffer through storms or even endure storms. We learn from the master teacher through the storms. And so we started with not everything that seems to be all that stable always is. Sometimes stability is shaken. And so we moved from there to last Friday, the prayer of Moses in the Psalms, teach us to number our days. And today we want to talk about faith that grows even in the midst of the storms. If your Bible is open there to Luke chapter 8, I'll remind you of this little context. Verse 22, one day Jesus got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." You read that verse, it was just an ordinary day, one day. So they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he awoke, he rebuked the wind and the rain, raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" Of all the things, Roger, that Jesus could say or do in that moment, why do you think he asked that question?
Well, you know, this goes back to the verse before, verse 24. When they awoke him, they said, "We are perishing." We would simply say, "We're dying." And we're not just getting this from the words of Matthew. We're getting this from Peter and James and John, who lived on that sea. They had been through storms before. And so now, in their estimation, this is the end of the trip. We're going to go down with a boat, and we're not going to survive. And Jesus says what he says for really a couple of reasons. Number one, there had been multitudes of miracles before this. Jesus can give sight to the blind. He can make the crippled walk. He's raised the dead. There is nothing Jesus cannot do. You cannot put the word impossible in front of Jesus. So they should have known that. They should have known that the wind and the waves, the weather is nothing to Jesus. He is God on earth. He has all authority and all power. But secondly, a theological underlying principle through all this, do you think that Jesus chose these 12 men to be his disciples, that the whole kingdom rested upon them? Eventually, as he ascends to heaven later on in the Gospels, he'll give these 12 men the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. Everything was relying upon these 12. Do you think that Jesus was going to allow them to go down in the boat and drown? That would have killed the whole thing. And so Jesus is just kind of, we might say, perturbed with them. I mean, where is your faith? You've been with me all this time. And that brings us to where we are, because that same thing could be asked of us. Faith is only good if you use it. So your faith is going to be tested. Your faith is going to be challenged. You'll be in difficult circumstances. You'll weather storms. You'll be like a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, standing alone when everyone else is bowing to the idols of the world. You may be like a Daniel who people are accusing you of praying and say you can't pray. And so our faith, what good is our faith if we don't use it?
I think it's interesting if you start there in Luke 8 and you look to Luke 9, it's not very far before we find a direct connection between what we're reading here and our everyday lives. I mean, we have heard Jesus ask the question. You can continue reading and you hear aloud these men wondering, who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Obviously, he's more than a teacher. They have come to believe he's more than a prophet that has, you know, some special insight from God. This is absolutely, undeniably a miracle worker. Now, in Luke chapter 9, next chapter, he sends the 12 out for the first time and tells them they're going to be able to do some extraordinary things themselves, and he wants them to go proclaim the kingdom of God. It's in Luke chapter 9 that Peter gets to the point where he is willing to confess, you are the anointed one of God. And immediately after Peter makes that confession, Jesus talks about how the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem and suffer and die and eventually be raised on the third day. And the verse after that, Luke 9:23, is when Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And so you just follow the thread here. If we're going to see Jesus for who he is, and we're going to endure and grow through these storms, we're going to answer his call for our lives, we're going to deny ourselves, we're going to take up our cross daily and follow him, if that's going to happen, we have to have strong faith. And to your point earlier, sometimes the best way for that faith to grow is for it to be tested.
And when we think about this, we put ourselves in that boat with these men. Storms come. You know, Jesus didn't stop the storm before it came. He allowed the storm to come. You and I will have storms in our lives, and storms come in just a variety of different ways. We may have a personal storm that no one else around us is. It's just to me. And there may be a storm to my family, to no one else. There may be a congregational storm going on. There's some things going on within the church, and it causes a congregational storm. There can be a national storm. And I think with our pandemic that we have a global storm going on right now. And there's lots of different factors. It could be a health storm. It could be a financial storm. It could be just a storm that causes fear, and we're not really sure why, but we're just unsettled and we're afraid. The uncertainty of the job market, that can cause all kinds of storms in our lives. And so the storms are going to come. Jesus never stopped the storm before it happened. And we need to see that your faith needs to go through storms. You need to test it. You know, it's kind of like a guy who's going to pull something. And he ties one end to his pickup, a rope, and he ties the rope to the other end or a chain. And right before he pulls it, he just gives a little tug. He's testing it. And our faith needs to be tested. And those testings, those trials, those storms, we don't like them. We want them to end right now. But God, through those things, builds character. And through that, we rely upon Jesus Christ.
Let me read a passage that says exactly what you have just brought up about storms and tests building character. It's the familiar James chapter 1, verse 2 passage, where brothers and sisters in Christ are called to count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. There's one thing you've brought up, not if, but when storms come. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Roger, when you hear that word steadfastness, what comes to your mind?
Well, back to the story of Jesus and the apostles on sea, it makes us think of an anchor.
Yeah.
Something's going to hold you. And so you got the strong wind blowing. You know, sometimes we see news clips of hurricanes, and you see everything blowing, but there's something that's tied down. And it may be blown a little bit, but it's not moving because it's anchored down. Well, that's the idea of steadfast. What's holding us is our faith in Jesus Christ. It's a faith that God is going to be there. God is on the throne. God is still in control. And that helps us so much. And you know, to that James passage, not only does he say you will have trials, but there are various trials. Your trial may be different than my trial. I may not understand what you're going through. And I may think, well, that's no big deal what you're going through. But my trial may be different than that. And we all go through different things, different times in our lives. But the trials have an end. They have a purpose there. And that purpose can make us better and stronger and closer. And as we've been trying to illustrate in this series here, it's not enough that we hang on. Just hold our breath until the storm passes, and then let's forget about this. Let's just get this out of our mind, and let's move on to sunshine days. Now, through this storm, we can become better than what we were. We can become stronger than what we were. There are lessons we're going to learn now that we would never have learned before had it not been for these storms.
It's what James describes in James 1, verse 4, as steadfastness having its full effect. This is a process. This is a growth, a process of maturing that you may be, he writes, perfect and complete. Now, obviously not perfect in the sense that, well, I have never messed up in the past. I never will sin. I am flawless before God. No, it's the idea of growing to be complete, mature, fully equipped, lacking in nothing. And it's remarkable to me how Jesus chooses just an ordinary day in Luke 8. One day. We don't know what day of the week it was. We're not specifically told a season of the year. It was just one day, and it was Jesus who said, "Let us go." Now, I believe Jesus absolutely knew what was going to happen. He knew what was on the horizon. He didn't tell them ahead of time. And in a very real sense, that's still true of us. He doesn't tell us ahead of time about these various trials that are going to come, but he is helping us grow in our faith.
I think sometimes if we knew, it'd even make things worse. I mean, as last year ended, if the Lord was to say and reveal to us, there's going to be this global crisis. It's going to crash the markets. You're not going to be able to worship for 10 weeks together. We would just been scared to death. And we just go through these things. But you know, one of the hymns we sing is, "Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear." When we look at this Luke 8 passage, we see that great men were scared. I mean, we're seeing Peter, we're seeing John. They're the pillars of the later New Testament, strong and courageous as they stand before all kinds of people to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. But here, they're scared. And great men get scared sometimes. We also see in this lesson that the storms came to an end. Storms always end. Whatever our problems are, they don't transcend death and go with us to the other side. Problems of health, problems of finances, all the problems that we may have, they're not going to be with us in heaven. The storms eventually end. And what Luke 8 also teaches us is Jesus is greater than the storm. That takes us to 1 John 4:4, where there John tells us, and how great it is that John is saying this, "Greater is he who is in you than he who's in the world." The he who's in the world, first and foremost, is Satan. But it's problems, it's trials, it's storms that we face. Greater is God in us. And interesting, he didn't say greater is God, which is true, but greater is he who is in you. That's the faith. Faith makes all the difference.
It's fascinating to me how you go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you read about John. You read about Peter, and you can watch as faith that starts out maybe like a little bit of mustard seed starts to grow and grow. And then you go back and you read the letters that these men wrote. We hear Peter in 1 Peter 1, verse 7, talking about the tested genuineness of your faith. When I read him saying things like that, a lot of times I just imagine a twinkle in his eye, a kind of a wry smile, how the faith of this man was tested, not just in this storm, but in another storm later on in the Gospels where Jesus is walking across the Sea of Galilee and Peter cries out and Jesus invites him out. And for a little while, Peter walks on the water with Jesus. You talk about tested genuineness of faith. Now he's an old man and he's talking to ordinary people, just like me and you, who weren't there with Jesus in the boat on the Sea of Galilee. And yet he still talks about various trials that test our faith and make it genuine. And he points us to where all of this ultimately is going. Precious faith, more precious than gold that perishes, eventually is found to result in praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Great, genuine faith doesn't make me or you or Peter or any other human being out to be the hero. The hero is Jesus. But if we will walk with him and put our faith, genuine faith in him, it makes him look great. And what we have to look forward to is glory.
You know, when we go back to our Luke 8 text, and it says in verse 24, they came to Jesus and woke him up. It's easy when we read stories of the Gospels to be backseat drivers and to say, well, I would have done this and I would have done that. And of course, had we been in that boat and we'd gone through that storm, we'd probably been screaming our heads off. I know I would have been. But two thoughts come out of that little phrase. I wonder how long they waited to wake Jesus up. You know, a lot of times we try to deal with a problem ourselves. And I can fix this. I don't need Jesus. We're going to just row and row and row and we'll get through this storm. And then it gets so bad that we can't. But then the second thing I see is that they did wake Jesus. They finally went to Jesus. And that's what we have to do. We have to go to Jesus when we're tested, when we're challenged, when we're tried, because Jesus has the answers. And that's what we need to see.
Don't you think that brings out, I think, the importance of prayer even on just ordinary days? We don't wait to pray until the storm clouds are as black as night and the lightning is all around us. We ought to pray in the midst of the storms. We ought to begin each and every just ordinary day with prayer.
Absolutely. So let's talk about some choices that you and I have when there is a storm. Storms come. That's what we've said. You will be through a storm, and some of us have just got through one, and we're just catching our breath. Some of us are in one right now. We're holding on, and our knuckles are white because we're scared to death. Others don't know it, but before the week's over, they're going to be in a storm. I mean, that's life. And through all the storms, we have choices. And the choices really are reflective of our faith. Faith will lead us to the right choices. And when we don't have the faith, we often make the wrong choices. So one of the things we need to do when there's a storm is we need to choose fellowship over isolation. We need to be with God's people. Now, we know, again, under our current circumstances, that may not be as possible because of social distancing. But, you know, you got a phone. You know, you got Facebook, you know, you got text, you got email, and the idea of being with others. You know, old Elijah back there in 1 Kings chapter 19, after Jezebel sent out a death message for him, he was hiding in a cave, And he had all those terrible, terrible, lonely, discouraging thoughts. Isolation in a storm makes the storm worse. We tend to think that we're by ourselves and all hope is lost. When we get up with others, we notice other people have gone through storms. Here's this guy over here, and look what he went through. Here's a Job. Here's an Abraham. Here's all these people in my life. And look what they've gone through, and they're still connecting to the Lord. That helps us so much. A second choice is to choose joy over despair. That's a choice. Now, the storms may be dark, but you don't have to be dark on the inside. That's your choice. And again, reflective of understanding the blessings of God, understanding that God is still in control and God can do things. And then to what Jason said just a while ago, to choose prayer over worry. Worry won't help you in the storm. Worry only makes things darker and worse. Worry doesn't give you any solutions. God, through prayer, is invited into our lives. God, through prayer, is going to help us. And so rather than worrying about it and fretting about it and losing sleep over it, cast all your anxiety, Peter says, upon him because he cares for you. And then to choose faith over doubt. The storms make us question. The storms make us wonder. The storms make us think the worst. Look at these disciples in Luke 8. We are perishing. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're wet and wind blowing. Yeah, you are. You probably got funny hairdo right now. But you know what? You're not dying because Jesus is with you. And so those little thoughts ought to help us as we think about the storms that we go through. And again, it's not a matter of navigating our boats so we miss the storms. The lessons are, what can I learn in the midst of the storm?
Disciples of Jesus do more than survive storms. We do more than endure storms. With Jesus' help, we grow through the storms. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope that it's helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. We mentioned earlier that this is the third episode in this series. All of the previous episodes and previous series all the way back to January, when life just seemed rather ordinary, didn't it? All of those are available at charlestownroad.org or wherever it is that you subscribe to podcasts. We appreciate you subscribing. We appreciate you sharing. We encourage you to always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you are heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.